good to see you all. My name's Ben. I'm part of the team here. And yeah, it's good to see you. If I don't know you, come and say hello afterwards. If you do, I'm sorry, but you're stuck with me this morning. Okay, I want to share this message with you, and then we'll go kind of enjoy the rest of our day together. Make sure you do stick around. Take all these various elements out of my pockets. Back in 2012, I went to a men's event in Bradford, and it was called Excel. And I really went, lads, put your hand up if you've been to Excel, because you're sure, okay, a few guys. If you've not, it's a great event, and we'll sort to go again this year, November. And in 2012, I rocked up at this event, and I was just knackered. I was just broken. I had some stuff going on in my life at the time, and I'd had enough. And I stood there while the songs were going on, and everyone's going, yeah, life is fantastic. Come on, everyone, sing. And I'm like, no, it's not. But I faked it until I make it. So I was stood there, and I just said, God, I just really need your help. If you're here, I just really need you. And I don't have this often, and I don't know how God speaks to you or if you believe in God in here, but the one thing is that God never fails to do, he never fails to answer me. At a certain point in time, he always comes up with an answer, and I got this verse in my heart. And it wasn't like an audible voice. Morgan Freeman didn't appear in my dream like that, like he did for that child. Thank you. And I remember just this thing. It was like, it was like a memory, because it just kind of appeared like it was always there. It was weird. And it was like it was in Matthew, and I want to read this to you, and this is what it said. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. That's where we're reading from today. It says this. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Now, Matthew is a book written about Jesus, and there are four books in the Bible that account for Jesus' life. So it's four books to one person, which increases the credibility. A large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy, which is a skin disease. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of it. I'll explain what that is later. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That is the prayer that I prayed back in 2012. And it was actually verse 3 that came into my mind, said this. Jesus reached out and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know for what reason you came. Maybe you had an invite from a friend. Maybe you come because this is just what you do every week. I don't even know where you stand with God. I don't know whether you believe or you don't, whether you're agnostic, atheist, or just hungry. Like, I don't know, okay? Maybe you read stories like Feeding of the 5,000, you know, where Jesus fed the 5,000 people with a little bit of fish and bread. You may think that's God, or you may think it's just tapas. But wherever you are today, I wanted to tell you this one thing. You see, we're all here for different reasons. We're all here with a different intention. But I woke up this morning with one thing in mind. I wasn't letting anything distract me. I didn't want anything to stop me from sharing these words with you. And it's this, is that Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing. Willingness is quite a powerful thing. You know, someone might go to a job interview next week. You might go and you may be looking for a job. I'm telling you, employers love it when they see willingness. They love it. Willingness means eagerness or readiness. And so if you display those qualities in your job interview, in your uni interview, or whatever you're doing, or your first date, that is so attractive in an individual. I actually think a lack of willingness is one of the first signs of a sick heart. I actually think when you start to see willingness go, it's a sign of the will changing. You see, the opposite of willingness is this, reluctance, denial, disagreement. When those things start to transpire in a relationship or a person, you know there is something bigger going on. There is something more going on inside. If you want to honor a friend, there's nothing more honoring than to willingly do something for them. when people do stuff for me, it's kind of bittersweet when it's kind of like I'm doing this out of duty, but we're not kind of talking about it. I'm just giving you these strange, crazy eyes that I hate you for making me do this for you. It's odd, but when someone comes to you and does something willingly, it makes you feel good. You think, wow, someone out there cares enough to be proactive. Someone out there cares enough to be eager for this relationship. And in a marriage, if you're married or you have a long-term partner or a spouse, there is nothing more romantic than willingness. Yes, love, we will watch The X Factor tonight. Yes, of course we will. Here, let me give you a foot rub. Can any of the ladies say amen to that one? Okay, just a heads up for you there, lads. Have an enjoyable night from me. If you look in verse 3, it says this. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I think God has quite a task with me. I think, you know, he loves me. I know he does. But man, I just think he kind of slaps his head sometimes. I think God's biggest frustration with me as Ben, as Benny, as Benjamin, as Benjamina, me as Ben, I think the biggest frustration he has is that he is so willing, but I am not. I think he is so willing to bring so many good things to my friends and the people who don't know him, so many good things to my colleagues or my family members, but I am just not so willing. I can't tell you how many times that I have chickened out of doing something. Have you ever chickened out of doing something? Okay, you're in the same boat as me. If you've ever been, just sometimes I'm a little bit lazy. So, okay, I only shower once a month, but that's a separate issue. I find myself quite late. I think God probably looks at me and goes, come on, Ben, increase your willingness. I think God has a little bit of a frustration about me sometimes. I love the fact that Jesus is willing. That when he looks at his son, his one and only son, who he gave to the world for us, so that when you believe in him, you have eternal life, not just eternal life after death, but eternal life before death, not just life after death, but life before death. I'm so glad that Jesus is willing. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. This is something you didn't do, okay? So I'm going to take you back 2,000 years. So for some of you, I'm going to take you back to your childhood. So go back 2,000 years, and I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this leper, someone who suffered with leprosy. Now, you didn't do that for two reasons. You didn't reach out and touch someone with leprosy. Number one is because it's, you know, he's got leprosy, and it's contagious. So there's number one. In fact, doing my research on Google, and we all know you should trust everything you read on the internet, and doing my research, what I actually found out is this, that leprosy is among the oldest diseases that we know about. Actually goes back way in time. They've even found it on the remains of dead people from thousands of years ago. The first recorded incident of leprosy was 600 BC. So this is an old disease. And if you don't know what leprosy is, it's an infection and a disease that basically changes your body. It scars your body. It gives you boils. It gives you spots, a little bit like puberty, but a lot worse. In fact, people, it's so bad, some people lose limbs, lose the sight. And for Jesus to reach out and touch this man, everyone thought it was a death sentence. But with Jesus, it wasn't. It was a life sentence because Jesus is willing. Okay, so that's number one, it's contagious. You don't. And number two, it was against the law. It was against the law to do that. In fact, for you Christian types in here, you can actually find this in the book of Leviticus, right at the start of the Bible. You see it, Leviticus, I think it's chapter 3 and chapter 15. It actually says, don't touch anyone with leprosy. Now, I don't know how you are with diseases. I was on a plane with my grandma. Hey, Gran, if you're in the room. I was on a plane with my grandma, and we're flying to Spain. And for some reason, why do I always get the cougher? Why? I can guarantee when you choose your seats on the flights, for some reason, it's always got a big C next to it. Yeah, there's a cougher, there's a sputterer. And for some reason, why did he choose to cough in my direction? Like, why is it like that? Oh, sorry. Catching me off guard. Never touch a coffer on a plane. Leprosy was something you didn't go near because it was against the law. But what I love about Jesus is that Jesus doesn't follow the law. Jesus is the law. You see, Jesus is the culmination of every rule in the rule book, every guideline in the Bible. Jesus is the culmination. He is everything in between. So when we think about what kind of level do we need to live at, what kind of ethic, what kind of moral, we don't look to the Old Testament now. We look to the New to see Jesus, to see one man who lived out the perfectness of the law. Jesus didn't follow the law. Jesus was the law. And because he personified it, he became grace. He became forgiveness for us, a perfect man who died. I also think it should challenge us if you're a believer in here. You see, the thing is, Jesus is not afraid of your ugly. And you do have a lot of it. He's not afraid of the worst of you. Because when he reaches and touches the worst of you, he exchanges it for the best of him. So if you're sat here thinking, but you don't know about the habit that I've had that no one knows about. You don't know what I did just last night that I said I would never do again. You don't know what I've done 10 years ago and nobody knows about it. You don't know what I struggle with, Ben. You don't know what I've been through, what I'm going through. You don't know what I plan to do against my own will. You don't know me. All I know is this, is that Jesus is not afraid of whatever's going on in your life. In fact, he will willingly reach out and touch the ugly, the contagious, the worst, and he will replace it with the best of him. You see where I'm going with this, that Jesus is willing, despite our own condition. And if you notice in this story, it didn't say the guy was sick. He said he was unclean. I want to speak to you now and say that whatever it is you suffer with is not your identity. That's not who you are. When Jesus came into this man's life, he cleaned him because the stuff that is messing up your life is just dirt to God. And he will come and he will wash it away. When we look in, again, let's look another view of this. That's Matthew verse 2 says this, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You see the paradox here in this sentence, where if you want to, it'll happen. Like, I believe that you can do it, but I'm not sure you want to do it. Like, if you are willing, you can do it. And, you know, you can look at this guy and say, well, you know, in hindsight, it's Jesus. Of course he's willing. Of course he'll do it. He came for us. This is why he's here. But I think we do this all the time. I think we are more sure of certain things about God than other things. I think what we believe in God is, you know, we believe in some stuff more than other stuff. Like, yeah, that's definitely God. Yeah, he can do it, but yet I'm not sure about this area here. For some of us, things are black and white and other things are gray. And it was the same for this guy. A guy came up to me once and he said, Ben, can you pray for my hearing? So I said, yeah, sure. So I put my hands over his ears and prayed a really, really deep, meaningful prayer. And he opened his eyes and looked at me and he said, thanks, my court date's next week. And I think it's true. I think it's true. Sometimes we don't get it right. And sometimes our prayers don't go in the right direction. And there are some things that you might be unsure about in your life, but there's one prayer that you can always pray with a surety, that Jesus is willing and that he loves me. In fact, there's a theologian called A.B. Bruce, and he said this, in this story, two miracles take place. There's a miraculous power and a miraculous love. And depending on who you are, you believe either one to higher or lower extents. My point is this. If you believe in miraculous love, miraculous power will follow. You see, I love my wife, Han, and so I empower her. I don't empower her because I have a duty contractually and she owns 50% of the mortgage. I empower her because I love her. And that's only the same with God. He creates opportunity and healing and cleansing because he loves you, not because he's duty bound. because a miraculous love always precedes miraculous power. That's the prayer we can be sure about. When we go before God, we can be sure that we will not be turned away, that he will forgive and heal and love and embrace us like a prodigal coming home. And by the way, if you have been a follower of Christ for a long time and you don't feel that emotionally connected to God again, I would suggest that you start to pray miraculous love prayers, that you start to once again come back to that place of wonder. Because that's what this is. It really comes down to what you think about Jesus, really. I wonder if you could just, in your head, and don't shout it out because it's just for your reflection, what is the one word that you think would kind of sum Jesus up, right? So even if you're an atheist in here or an agnostic or a Liverpool football club fan, wherever you are in the spectrum of faith, join in. What word would you use to surmise who Jesus is? What word would that be? I did that the other day. And it really makes you think about what you truly believe about Jesus. I want to show you some quotes, and I found these quotes, and these some people who thought a lot of Jesus. And I'm not saying they were the perfect role models, and I'm not saying they had it all together, but I'm just using their words to simply illustrate who Jesus is to many of us. There's only three. So I'll start with Albert Einstein. He said this: "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene." Jesus was from Nazareth, so he called him the Nazarene. "Jesus is too colossal for the pen for phrasemongers, however artful. No man can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. Theseus and other heroes of his type lack the authentic vitality of Jesus." That was Albert Einstein who said that. I believe God was putting him on a track of faith himself. Next one is from a guy called Mahatma Gandhi, which is really hard to spell, but he's an amazing guy. "A man," this is him talking about Jesus, and he actually said a lot about Jesus. "A man who was completely innocent, offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became a ransom of the world. It was a perfect act." And this is what Vincent van Gogh said: "He lived serenely as a greater artist than all other artists, despising marble and clay as well as colour, working in living flesh. That is to say, this matchless artist made neither statues nor pictures nor books. He loudly proclaimed that he made living men immortals." I love it if the band could come up and we're going to sing at the end of this talk and just reflect on maybe a thought that you've had during this gathering. What do you think about Jesus? And over the last few months, we've had some great, great times together. And we always, as a leadership team, always try and cover as many topics through the year as we can. In fact, if you ever look through the podcast, you'll see we try and cover absolutely everything. But today I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to bring us back somewhere. I want us to, before we move on, before we launch a brand new series next week with Dave, our senior leader, before it all kicks off with the new build and whatever it is in your life that you're trying to walk to the edge on, I wanted us to come back to this one point in time. Jesus, with a simple, encouraging thought that Jesus is willing. Would you stand to your feet? I want to show you this one last thing, and then we'll sing together, and then I'll pray, and then we'll finish. Okay, when we look back at Matthew chapter 8, some stuff happens, okay? And if you ever want to read this when you go home, it's the first book in the New Testament, and it's chapter 8. This is what happens in chapter 8. The first thing that happens is that Jesus heals a man with leprosy, who we've just learned about, our friend in this story. Then he walks a little bit further, and a guy comes up to him and says, "My servant's sick. Can you heal him?" Jesus heals the servant. Didn't even go near him. He just prayed and it happened. So Jesus heals servants. We've got a leper, a servant. A little bit further on, it goes to Peter's mother-in-law's house, who's sick. Whether Peter was happy about that, I don't know. But Jesus heals her. He walks straight in and places his hand on her. She had a fever at the time. The next thing is Jesus and his disciples are in a boat and they're in the middle of a sea. And suddenly this storm happens, wind and waves. And Jesus walks to the front of the boat, says, "Be still." And the storm was calmed. And then finally, at the end of this chapter, we see that he encounters some real forces of darkness. That some spirits, some evil spirits are coming at him, but he just made them leave town. Because where light is, darkness cannot exist. So we see it all the time through the Bible. The Bible is just a list of how willing God is, especially the Gospels. It's book after book after book of Jesus going, "I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm here, I can." And it doesn't matter where you stand today. There's a simple thought that I wanted to share with you, and it's this. Jesus can and will. Jesus can and will. But these certain elements of these stories only happened, just like this man, just our friend with leprosy, it only happened because he was willing first. Jesus is kind of here, just a waiting invitation. So because this man was willing, Jesus is able to come in and do his stuff. We have got to be willing in the same way Jesus was and is. We're going to sing in just a minute, and we're going to sing a portion of Forever. This is what I wanted to show you. Matthew chapter 8, the man with leprosy, God healed him. If you have a life-controlling issue today, if you have something that is called causing disfigurement in your life, Jesus is willing. If you're a bit like the man whose servant was dying, if you feel like something has been stolen from you, something is being taken from you in your life, something that is integral to your household and who you are, I wanted to tell you this. Jesus is willing. If you find yourself in Peter's position where something is undermining your family and threatening to break that union up, if something's happening in that world, in that home, or in those relationships, I wanted to tell you this, and you know where I'm going. Jesus is willing. If you find yourself in a boat and all around you is going crazy, and you feel like you have no control at all, and all these external factors, you feel like you're going to sink, Jesus is willing. And if you feel like the very forces of darkness just keep coming at you, like they have got you in a bullseye, that for some reason things keep happening to you that have never happened before, but it's just relentless and you're just getting tired, I need to tell you before we go home that Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing to bring you out of that life controlling issue. Jesus is willing to take back what you feel has been stolen from you. Jesus is willing to restore your family in the right place. Jesus is willing to stand before the forces of darkness and cast them out in his name, the name above all name. Jesus is willing to stand ahead of you at the front of a boat in front of the worst thing that is happening to you in your life where you have no control over it. Jesus is willing to stand in front of you and take the bullet and say to the storm, "Be still," and it will be still. And if you are willing, you may leave here singing a different song and reciting the old poem that said, "Shackled by heavy burden, beneath guilt and shame, he reached out and touched me, and now I'm no longer the slave."